I was just thinking, I bet Jesus is really jealous now because he never had none of this stuff.
What about Jesus going out?
He was jealous probably because he never had all of this equipment. People had to hear him without a microphone. I got to thinking last night, and that's not always the best thing to do, but I got to thinking about Mike talking about the billions of galaxies that are out there. And for us to think that we're the only people in the universe. People send me stuff all the time. And I've been sent a few comments and videos lately about what preachers are saying about aliens coming to Earth. And they're all saying that if you see a spaceship and people come out of it and they seem to be so full of love and that they're just demons in spaceships. That's what the preachers are saying. Now, I learned years ago, whatever they're saying, you can believe the exact opposite. Every time I was told not to read a book, it's the first thing I read. But I was very blessed because at an early age of being, I don't want to call it saved anymore, but awakened, I guess, I began to hear. And at the time, and for a long time, I thought I was hearing God speak to me out there somewhere. Somehow he got into my consciousness and I was hearing God speak. But you know what I realized not too long ago? Everything I've heard that I considered was God was simply my spirit revealing to me the truth of my being. You will all of us learn truth from within, never from without. Now, it's good to hear truth from without. It's a good place to start to read some of the spiritual books and spiritual literature, but they won't help you unless you begin to hear the voice within yourself. And that's what's happening today all over the world. And I can guarantee you, if you look up in the sky someday, and I'm sure you will, and you see thousands of spaceships, you can bet they're not here to harm you. If they wanted to do that, they could have done it many, many, many years ago. So anyway, I guess that's enough about that.
Well, that's not too controversial here. Just go on. There's no purpose to the day. I'll give him something that you all.
I'll just say this, and then I won't say no more. There are at least 50 different species of beings out there in the galaxy. And someday you will meet them. That day is coming. And the main reason I say some of these things is at least you've heard. And don't be afraid. If you listen to preachers, you'll be trying to cast demons out of people that are simply a blessing to the universe. If you combine all the great spiritual teachers throughout the ages, at the core of their message, they all say the same thing. There's one God, there's one universe, there's one being, there's one consciousness, and one true reality. And we are all a part of that reality. The system of religion is based on doctrine and not on revealed truth. That's why we have, I don't know now how many different denominations we have. I'm sure it's in the hundreds, maybe even thousands. And even the denominations within themselves have divisions. The Pentecostals are divided by so many times. There's more Baptist churches almost than there are Baptists. And it's all built on doctrine and not revealed truth. Some of you know I managed one of the country's largest Christian bookstores for a few years. And I met many pastors. And one of the pastors I met was a Baptist minister. And he asked me to come and preach at his church. And he was a Pentecostal Baptist. Anyway, before I was scheduled to speak at his church, he asked me, he said, "Do you believe in baptizing in the name of Jesus?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I don't see anything wrong with it." No, he said, "I mean, do you believe that that's the only way you should be baptized?" I said, "No." He said, "Why not?" I said, "Well, you know what? If you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Jesus is the fulfillment of what you believe anyway." I was uninvited to speak because of that one thing. Mike talked about the resurrection of the dead yesterday. I could never figure this one out. Most Christians teach that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, right? You're going to be in heaven. And then they teach about the resurrection from the dead. You're going to come out of the grave. So I guess when that time comes, you're going to leave heaven, go in the grave, and come back out. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? If you really take time to think, and see, that's the trouble with us as Christians, is we're not taught to think. We're taught to believe. And believe what you're told. And don't question the Bible. Well, I had a big question here yesterday. I said, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And I say, why not? Who made that rule? Do you really think that God made a rule that for you to be forgiven, something had to die? And an animal wasn't enough. Eventually, it had to be his own son. Had to go to the cross and die so that God could once again receive you, but only if you believe right. You can't even... Somebody asked me once about, do you believe the virgin birth? I said, well, I don't disbelieve it, but I don't really know. How could I know? They told me I wasn't a Christian. You have to believe in a virgin birth to be a Christian. So the death on the cross isn't enough. The killing of Jesus wasn't enough. You still have to believe right. And if you don't believe right, you're damned anyway. What was the meaning of the cross? It wasn't so that God could love you again. It wasn't about forgiving you of your sins. The cross was about dying to everything of this world. And then resurrect to prove that death has no hold. That's all it's about. And you will go to that cross, maybe not literally, but there will come a day in your life, if it hasn't already, that you're willing to deny all of that stuff. To deny the self is not to quit smoking, quit dancing, quit chasing women. To die to the self is to come to the realization that who you thought you were is not even real. It's not the truth. And, you know, like I said yesterday, I talk a lot about the scriptures, but I absolutely love the scripture. I really do. But there's just some things in that book that's just not right. It's crazy. How many times did Jesus say in his day, it is written, but I say to you, it is written in your law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, you love your enemies. You do good to those who despitefully use you. He knew the situation of the Old Testament scriptures. And that's one of the main reasons he came. He didn't come to die for your sins. He came to reveal to you the truth of your being. You want to know me? You want to know yourself? You know me, you'll know yourself. And this fact about us all being one, the scriptures make that very clear. If you do harm, if one person in your place does wrong, it affects the whole group. Once you realize that what you do affects humanity, it will definitely bring some changes to your life. How did we get to be so religious? Now, if there was such a thing as crucifying today, I'd be crucified for saying what I'm about to say. Christianity actually ruined the spirituality that was on the earth. There was a group known as the Gnostics before Christianity ever came along that had more truth than what you're going to learn out of your Bible. But like most people, well, they're afraid to even read anything Gnostic or read anything from the Hindus or read anything from Buddha. I used to minister a lot in churches, and I would quote Buddha all the time, but I wouldn't tell them it was Buddha, and they'd absolutely love it. But if I'd have stood up there and read something and said it's from Buddha, they'd all shut it down. So you have to realize you have been trained, you have been brainwashed, you have been controlled, manipulated by what you've been taught. And you got to give lots of money. Because the more you give, you're going to be blessed. Religion, as we know it today, was grossly affected in AD 325 by Constantine. I don't know how many of you know that history, but it's good to know. Because almost everything that the churches teach you today came out of the Council of Nicaea in 325. Now, in those days, there wasn't a printed Bible. And so the Council of Nicaea decided for you, headed by Constantine, what the church was going to be taught. They threw out all the Gnostic scriptures. They threw out all of the, not Gnostic, what's the other scriptures? There's so many out there today. Anyway, that council decided what you should read and what you shouldn't read. What you should know and what you shouldn't know. And almost everything that you've been taught came out, not only came out of that council, but came out of the Catholic Church, who then after that council absolutely ruled the world for 1,000 years. And true spirituality, except for a few that knew the truth, all spirituality, they put a lid on it. You know, it was only, I think it was only in the 50s that the Catholics openly declared it was okay It might have been a little earlier than that. I forget the exact date, but it was okay for the church to read the Bible. Up until that time, a Catholic was forbidden to read the Bible. They could only read what is called the Missal. The Catholic Missal was permitted for the people to read. And that's a big reason why this Council of Nicaea had so much power, because Christians had no way to learn the truth unless, the same way we learn it today, they took the time to really seek God and be open to hear His voice. When I first began to hear within me the voice, it was probably about 1970, I think. And I rejected almost everything I began to hear because it violated the scripture. Before I ever had the concept that God may save everyone on the earth, I heard that. And I rejected it because I believed in eternal hell. I can't say I really did, but I was questioning it, but it still was part of that system that taught me everything at that time that I knew. So just consider today, if all we had was pastors telling us what to do, in fact, that's what most people have, look at the mess out there. When Jesus Himself said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So that's why there is such a move of oneness on the earth today, because we're beginning to really have an awakening in consciousness. So the Catholic Church ruled the world for 1,000 years before the first Bibles were printed. And the only reason we had the first breakaway from the Catholic Church, Martin Luther, is because he started to read and believe what the Bible said. And from that, although we've had so many breakaways, and there has been a lot of evolution in spiritual thought, it's still so bound by the religious concepts and what you're taught. Just take the story of Adam and Eve. We're taught that Adam and Eve were literal creations. God created one man and one woman. And the whole human race has come out of that one man and that one woman. So that means the black man, the Indian, the Chinese, all of these different races came out of Adam and Eve. Is that logical at all? God didn't create one man and one woman. The story of Adam and Eve is an allegory to help you understand your being. And how about the Tree of Life? The Tree of Life actually represents walking in full consciousness of knowing who you are, where you came from. And as Michael said the other day, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is operating from what we call the carnal mind. And almost everything we've been taught in religion has come from the carnal mind of man, trying to figure out what the scriptures say. Honest men, serious men. Genesis 2 says that love, divine consciousness, created man in His own image. Male and female created He them. He didn't say in his own image, he created him, Adam, male and female. He said he created them. And Eve being separated from Adam simply means that you have, somehow you have fallen from a full consciousness to a limited knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And we have all been raised by exercising the mind and believing in good and evil. And the funny thing about scriptures, you can even point out scriptures to, I used to use my aunt for example. I used to point out scriptures to her that went absolutely against what the Catholics taught. She was a Catholic. And she would say, I don't care what the Bible says. The Pope is his spokesperson today, and that's who we listen to. Well, we've done the same thing. We've listened to our pastors regardless of what we read in the scriptures. I'll never forget when I first saw that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable for sin. It says just black and white, that's what it says. Try to find a preacher that believes that. You telling me I can do anything I want and God's not holding me accountable? He's not. Because he realized you're only operating out of a limited conscious. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you came from. You don't know why you're on the earth. So why would I judge you or call you guilty for doing things that you don't even understand what you're doing? See, I used to tell people this. We are literally, we are mentally ill. We are. We're mentally ill. Because anytime you're operating outside of the mind of Christ, you are out of your mind. And Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. So if you're operating outside of that mind, which we all do, then you're literally insane. And even in this realm, we don't hold insane people guilty for their crimes. And that's why the scriptures say that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not holding them accountable for their sin. And that's why on the cross, Jesus could say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're out of their mind. They don't understand. Oh, and I wish everybody could get that revelation. If you could get that revelation, you can stand up against anything. It doesn't matter who comes against you. It doesn't matter what they say about you. You just realize they just don't understand what they're doing. And so you can be love, understanding that they just don't know what they're doing. And you don't hold them accountable. Living by the tree of life. It simply means you're living from your spiritual nature. And the more you awaken, the more you will be having that nature infiltrate every area of your being. It'll infiltrate your mind so that you won't think crazy anymore. You'll take on, you have the mind of Christ, but when you begin to awaken, that mind begins to function in you. Here's a scripture religion quotes all the time. Wide is a gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is a way that leads to life. You know what that really means? Wide is a gate that leads to destruction. Religion. Exactly. That's the road to destruction, is religion. They say it's people like me and Mike that are out here, you know, revealing some truth. They say that's the broad way. In fact, I had a guy who used to write articles about me in his magazine every month. This was several years ago. And he called me Mr. Sigler. He said, now, Mr. Sigler, he says, no matter what you do, God will forgive you. And I'm thinking, that's bad news? And he quoted me in so many instances that it actually would help what I was doing and not hinder. He thought it would hinder it because he was a theological graduated pastor. And so he thought by him quoting me that it would wake people up to my error. I think it just helped them understand what I was saying. So if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Boy, that one I tried for a long time. I had no concept what it was. Because my preachers always told me to deny yourself, you got to get quit all that stuff. You can't do anything except what's pleasing to God. Until I realized that to deny myself was to deny, and not just deny, we have to come to the knowledge and the revelation, the understanding, the enlightenment that we are not human beings. We are spiritual beings. And the more that infiltrates our consciousness, the more we will be liberated from the doctrines of religion that we've been taught. I think I said, last meeting I did, I used to sit in a Pentecostal church and say, thank God I'm not in religion anymore. That's how blinded we are. Yet I couldn't dance, I couldn't smoke, I couldn't take a drink. That's not freedom, folks. I'll tell you what freedom is. Freedom is you do anything you want to do, but you have to be willing to pay the consequences. There are consequences, but you are free to be you. And I heard a preacher say this one time when I first heard it, I thought, man, are you crazy? But he said this, and I found out it to be true. You will never be free from sin until you're free to sin. With a clear conscience. Well, you see, the problem with that is our concept of sin. The only thing I would consider as sin today is not knowing the truth of your being. Because you're going to do everything wrong. But once you just come into that revelation and understanding, I am Christ on the earth. Now, that's one thing the Gnostics understood. They understood the difference between the humanity of Jesus and the Christ that operated in him. Big difference, because as the human man, Jesus himself admitted, I cannot do anything. Yet all religion does is try to teach you how to be like God and what you must do to be forgiven by God. It's really sad. It's so easy. More than I ever realized, it's so easy to be a spiritual person. You quit trying to be spiritual. And you know what? I don't know if you can even do that, quit trying to be spiritual. I tried it for so long. I mean, I quit trying to be godly. And there was something in me ever since I was a little child and began to read and understand the Bible. I had a Bible that I could understand. I wanted to be like Jesus. And so for years, I fought against my, what I called the carnal nature. I fought against it, trying to overpower it, and it can't be done. There's a wonderful verse that says, the strength of sin is in the law. So the more you try to overcome by law, you give strength to that sin principle that is operating. So that's why I tell people, just learn to be yourself. Do what you enjoy, but keep your heart open. Keep, you know, spend some quiet time every day, open to the Lord, and you will begin to be led by the Spirit. And then whatever you shouldn't do, or whatever, you know, you will just, like I said, I woke up July 11th, 1982, and I just, everything was gone that I was struggling against. So the key is not in trying to deny the flesh or kill the flesh. The key is spending that quality time in the quiet until you begin to hear, and the Spirit within you begins to awaken you to the truth of your being. That's the only way that any of us will ever overcome. It can't be done. Whoever will save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will find it. That's easy to understand now. I have to lose my life as a human, and then I'll really begin to live as love on this earth, in actuality. We somehow must leave our beliefs to discover the truth. If you believe you have to be baptized to be saved, you're still in a prison. If you believe you have to be baptized in any form whatsoever, you're still in a prison. If you can drop your beliefs and just have an open heart to be led by the Spirit, I can promise you, you will be led. And once you're being led, you don't ever have to take anything from another man. You will be free to live your life. You'll be free to be you. I got free from the guilt of smoking when I was smoking 2 packs a day. If I hadn't, I probably never would have got rid of it. But that day when I woke up, on July 11, 1982, I didn't even have to, I never thought about smoking. And that's only one thing. I was so full of all the stuff you shouldn't do as a Christian, but the only thing that kept me going was knowing, and I did know at the time, God is not holding you accountable. He understands your situation. He understands, you know, the way you were brought up and the parents that you had, the environment that you're in. And so you just hang in there, and eventually, it's like I said yesterday, the cream always rises to the top. You cannot fail. You can't, it's impossible for you to fail. I'm saying that to every one of you here. I guarantee you, if you weren't ready for this, you would not be here. So thank God for those who are opening. And again, one last thing. Making Jesus an idol and worshiping him, it's a big mistake. Now, I absolutely love the man Jesus, but I can guarantee you, if he was here, he would tell you, don't worship me. I am no different than you. I am as you are. I was told many years ago, that I was going to a conference to speak, and the Spirit began to reveal to me that the Old Testament prophets, the first thing they did when they went into a place is tear down all the idols. And I heard, Jesus is your biggest idol. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to a conference to speak. There is no way I'm going to say that in a conference. But I knew if I was supposed to, I'd do it anyway. But I didn't have to. But you know what? That's the kind of stuff. And you know, and I don't go in. If I go into a group of new believers, my ministry has always been a bridge. And I tell people that get some of my messages now, it's hard for them, but I say, look, if you go to my website and you start out with message number one, it's a progression. Because I said when I very first began to teach, it's going to take me maybe years to reveal the truth of what I know. And so my mission was to spoon feed people and just progressively bring them along. That was my heart. And that's not everybody, but that's my heart. And we all have a different ministry. Mike will minister to a certain group of people. I will minister to a certain... Robert will have people that will listen to him that won't listen to me or Michael. But that's the beauty of men who are walking in the truth and in the knowledge of their true being. Amen.